Well, in the spirit of taking Anna out for a date to record our podcast, this week we've come to the rather busy, noisy, happy surroundings of a coffee shop. It's a bit better than rain though, isn't it, Anna?
So much more, May. It's warm, there's food, there's clothes, there's no people watching in the car to see if we're dogging. Yeah, so much better.
Well, This is a clean and friendly podcast, so we've been told that we must tone it down.
Oh, yes, yes. So we promise we're not going to do anything dodgy today, are we?
No. Well, bear with us. It's a bit of a noisy surrounding, but there's a reason that we've come here. Because we're talking about fighting your inner rebel. And for me, one of my triggers is stepping into a place where there is cakes, chocolate, all the creams and frothiness goodness, and having that treat. And as someone who, you know, works from home, I like to get out my bubble and go and sit in coffee shops. But for me, coffee shops represent danger.
Oh, really?
It's a place where I suddenly lose so much money,
yes,
and also lose sins without even blinking. So,
whereas to me, this is a place of safety. This is where I come and I know I can be controlled, because then I can work out the sins of everything. Isn't that funny?
It is.
Yeah.
Well, we've got our drinks. Drinks are on Anna today.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. I'm intrigued by your drink.
So I've got a double espresso with frothy milk.
Yeah, well, except
skimmed
she
milk.
Messed up, didn't she?
Well, it's a bit cold.
Yeah.
But I feel safe with an espresso.
Do
it's
you?
When I start going down the cappuccino, the frothy goodness.
So my drink must be quite scary to you.
Go on, it just looks like an absolute chocolate monster.
Yeah, so I've got a medium coconut hot chocolate. So I've taken the coconut milk as my two healthy extra A choices. There'll be a bit left over. And then four sins for the chocolate. And that is like pure enjoyment. I feel good. I feel like I'm not missing out. But I can quantify it.
How do you work that out then? Are you just going like
by
a menu up on the app?
No, yeah. We, one of the girls and I, we found out the millage for all the drinks that they make here, and then you work out what you take off for your healthy extra. So it's really simple. But that for me, I won't rebel now because I've had a hot chocolate, whereas if I'd had your drink, I would have want cake.
Really? Because I'm just looking behind us now. Even the sound of the coffee just brings that.
You?
It's that sound, right? There we go. The sound, that's like doing the coffee beans, isn't it? I just love the smell of it. But like looking at the size of the cakes, the portions of them, like just, you know, the little chocolate bar, you think, oh, I'll just have one little chocolate bar to go with that.
The tipping in here is 23 sins a slice.
You are kidding, that's one of my go-tos.
Yeah. I thought it would be about 37. I always have a guess first, so I was quite shocked that it was only 23. But I'd say that's worth 23 sins.
Bananas. Well, not bananas,
no.
It's chocolate.
But can you imagine if you've got the hot chocolate, full fat milk with the cream, you've done like nearly a week's worth of sins, haven't you?
Well, the thing that we're noticing a lot is that people are talking about this, the excuses that we have when we're not getting the weight loss that we want, when we hit those walls. But you summed it up quite perfectly yesterday in group, Anna, where you talked about the inner rebel within us. And you said that you've given yours a persona. Introduce us to your inner rebel.
Delilah. She's an absolute monkey. She really is. She comes out at the strangest of moments and the times that I feel at my weakest, and she is a chocolate monster. She also loves a glass of wine, not to mention a Domino's pizza. But she really, I battle against her on a daily basis, I really do. And some weeks she's better than others. I find she's hormone related, you know. When it's maybe time of the month, she comes out like full force. She ain't sleeping, she is just eating. She's a nutter.
So do you feel like that is a completely different side of you? There's like different sides where you're like the on it Anna and then the rebel Anna.
Oh yeah, well there is always the Anna that is calm, serene, wants to lose weight, wants to stay slim, and 90% of that time she's cool. Then out rears this vile, big haired, loud, obnoxious, version of me that's like, eat all the cake. Sod it, be fat. Why are you being told what to do? Do it, yeah. She's right, monkey. One won't matter. It's all right, you've eaten 46. Who cares? No one knows. That kind of thing.
But when does she come out?
She comes out when I put too much pressure on myself. She comes out when I try and be perfect. She comes out when I'm knackered. She comes out when I'm disappointed. She comes out when I get on the scales and I haven't lost 57 pounds in 10 minutes. She also comes out when I feel a little bit confident. Does that make sense? Like, you get a new dress and you're like, oh, actually, that's not a tent. It fits my body. She then pops out and goes, ha, you're still fat though. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
interesting. It is quite scary what we say to ourselves, isn't it? Because there is this thing where whatever the rebel, which is part of us, the things that voice is saying to us, we would never say to our friends or to our family.
So psychologists call it the inner chimp, right? So,
of course, the chimp paradox. I've read that book. It's ace.
It's really interesting. So they know that this is something that will rear up, but only comes out in certain conditions when you do certain things to yourself. So the way you speak to yourself, when you're putting too much pressure on, when you're trying to be too perfect. So I think it is recognizing that speech. The way people talk to themselves is horrendous. The things that people say, that if your best mate, if I sat here and called you all the things that you probably say to yourself, you'd punch me in the face. Yeah. But it's all right to say it to ourselves, isn't it? So I think that kind of almost activates it. And the thing about pressure that I see is when people put so much pressure on themselves, they go west.
Yeah.
Do you recognise that?
Yeah, I definitely do. And, you know, with the things that we're saying to ourselves, I started writing down what I was saying to myself. And there was something about seeing it written down on paper in my journal that kind of made it...
What were you saying?
Well, really similar to what you're saying there, you know, oh, for God's sake, just have one. You're not fun anymore. God, you're so boring. This is dull. Just treat yourself. You deserve it. You've worked really hard this week. It's only one. All these kind of stuff. And just exactly the same, like you put a new dress on and you think, yeah, but you still got that roll of fat, or it still doesn't quite fit you. Your belly's still big. Yeah. But you still got the double chin. It just, and then you analyse photo after photo after photo. That for me, I can't look at a photo and just think, yeah, I look all right there. I still can't do that.
No, I'm like that with my wedding photos. The most beautiful photos. We had the most magnificent photographer. And
your wedding photos look amazing.
Yeah, but I
don't
see that.
Your arms. I remember what you were saying about your arms. I did check your arms. I was like, yeah, she has got arms.
But I don't see that. I see everything that's wrong. And that's when it comes out and goes, even on your wedding day, you didn't sort it out, Anna. Even on your wedding day, you could have been thinner. It's mad, isn't it? How we just have this within us that can just really change your day from being really happy and positive. But I think what I've learned to recognise is when she comes out and how to shut her up.
Yeah. The, you know, like just even the smells around here and like looking at some of the food, that there's something that...
She's eyeing up the men, don't lie, not looking at the food. She turns straight to a man next to us.
It's not a hobby. The guy when we were in
the...
You're
not going for the older man, I'm sorry, do you not go for
just
the older
spit
man?
On me. What are you doing, man? Get that close to me and spit on me. Keep your hot chocolate to yourself. That was at least one sin. But there's something psychological about this stuff that is so deep within you that until you start to realise there are all these triggers. Like I talked, I put a post on our Instagram about when I'm walking into my supermarket at the moment, and the first thing that I see is Easter eggs, and there are rows and rows and rows. And I did give in to one last week, and it was fine because I managed it within my sins, and I did still have a decent weight loss this week.
Three and a half pounds.
But the thing is, like, there's like a pull with these things that is so deep within you. The things that we've been saying to ourselves, this inner rebel, and the excuses that we have are so deep that even though sometimes you get in the weight loss, that stuff seems to take longer to catch up.
That is the hardest thing to change, people's minds. They can lose the weight. I see it so much. People have lost so much weight. They still see themselves as fat, overweight, obese. And that's where they almost fall down, because they don't accept where they've come. They look how far they've still got to go. And I think you've been a great example of someone who seems to have it totally in the right space. You'll keep going and recognising that you've lost nearly 5 stone, not that you maybe want to lose another 2 stone. You're not berating yourself over that. And I think it's just recognising the situations where it comes out. How do you handle your inner rebel then? What do you do?
I know that my rebel comes out when I'm tired, when I'm stressed.
Yeah.
Oh dear, someone isn't very happy. They're in a rebel.
That sounds like home.
It always comes out when I'm tired and stressed. And I know, so when I do my night shifts, I know for the next 2 or 3 days that's when my guard is down. So I'm starting to understand that maybe I need to do some cooking and put things in place before I get to that point.
Yes.
By having the ready meals in. Because I know when I am tired that I'm just going to reach for whatever sugar hit that comes to me. And then that's likely when the inner rebel's going to come out.
Well, you've got to remember the inner rebel is highly hedonistic. They want instant gratification. It's totally in the now. Doesn't think about the bigger picture. Doesn't think about all the things that you want to achieve. It thinks about what I have, what I gotta.
What's in that hot chocolate, mate?
Jesus. What I want now, I'm going to have. And it doesn't think about your long-term plan. So if you can not get to that point and shut it down, you're going to be in a safer space.
But then there are times when it feels like my inner rebel is so strong within me that I catch myself, like, with the food in my mouth and it in the half a bag of, I don't know, popcorn on a Saturday night, thinking, like, where has that gone?
Yeah.
How am I in this situation again? And it's like, it's just overall shut down everything.
It's like you become blind, isn't it? It's like it happens and you wake up in the middle of it.
And
this
is the thing that I don't think that people really talk about. You know, we hear so many programs and we hear so many experts on TV and on radio who are talking down to us about what to do. But when you're in that zone and it's like, God, why am I doing this to myself? It is almost like a form of self-abuse.
It's self-harm, 100%. And I think the thing we have to recognise is it's those things that cause it. So the really strict diets, the really strict parameters that you put yourselves on is going to bring that inner chimp out, if you like. So that's why I think food optimising is one of the more gentle ones, because nothing's forbidden. So the whole premise that Margaret put in, you know, sins and stuff like that, is so that we could almost try and combat that. Because you must have done eating things where you take everything away. I mean, I've done it. And you can go so far and then it comes out in a massive form. So I think it's recognising that if you're doing something that's, you know, modifying the plan, so going, I'm not going to have my healthy extras, or I'm not going to have any sins today, or like, I've had it a lot in Greek this week, I'm not going to eat pasta, I'm not going to eat potatoes. Actually, that is going to make Delilah rear her head. It really is. Another important call is, don't judge yourself when it happens, because that's what Delilah wants. She wants you to get sad, she wants you to get upset. But if you judge yourself, you're going to start the whole rigmarole again. Well, you messed up, you're a failure, and you're fat. I told you you couldn't do it. So I think it's really about segmenting and working out, like, you know, it's when you're tired.
Yeah.
I know it's when I'm literally putting too much pressure on myself and not allowing myself things. So, like, now I make sure I've factored in something beautiful each week. So is it a McDonald's that I really love? Is it a Domino's? And I factor that in. I eat far less of it because I'm allowing myself it, because Delilah has no question in it. Whereas when Delilah says, Anna, get McDonald's on the way home from group, you've looked after 300 people today, go and get a Big Mac meal, I can shut her down.
See, it's the idea about choice, not deprivation, right? But there is also this thing where whether you remove the things that completely trigger you or you moderate. So say, for instance, like the thing that, you know, that I'm doing this year of not drinking alcohol, right?
Yeah.
And actually, it's been really interesting removing it completely, because then there is like the kind of cravings just completely dissipate. And actually, it's more like the psychological thing around it. But you can't not eat, right? That's the thing that we come back to. So you can't remove food.
Yeah.
Moderating, say, my chocolate addiction.
Yeah.
It's almost like, well, sometimes I kind of think, would it just be easy if I just completely abstain from chocolate and then the cravings subside?
Exactly.
But then as soon as I have one, it's like, I'll get that taste back.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, how many times have people quit smoking and then, boom, you had a little cheeky one when you were drunk in the beer garden at your mate's house, and then, boom, next thing you know, you're in Tesco's buying a pack of 10 again.
Yeah. Don't sell 10 anymore, apparently.
Or was it 5?
No. 20s only now.
It's ridiculous money anyway.
I think it is, though, really recognising those triggers and saying, like, I have to cut it out. I don't have any choice. I can't moderate this.
Yeah.
And there is enough food in the world that you're not going to get triggered by broccoli and chicken. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to get triggered by a punnet of strawberries.
You and bloody broccoli.
I love that stuff. I think it's because I can't eat very much of it because of tummy.
I could just imagine now, if you were to get married today, instead of the bouquet of flowers, you'd have the broccoli.
Eat, like, five different types of broccoli. Like,
I still keep thinking of mummy trees.
Yeah. Oh my God, she loves it when we get to Aldi. Mummy trees. Very cute. And she holds it and eats the branches first. It is very cute.
Well, that is a good thing to get installed into
a
child.
No, she also likes a chocolate, a Bueno, though. She sees Bueno and she shouts, chop, chop.
Do you know what? Having a child, now, because this is obviously something that I've not seen, but how, when you've got a child growing up, how can you see instantly whether they are like a sugar addict from a young age? Like, can you see when you give them their first sugar?
I'm in a position with it at the moment because Daisy's been so poorly and wouldn't eat. The doctors have told me you've just got to get her, because her blood sugar's dropping, you've just got to feed her. So she is eating cake and chocolate and crisps and all that type of stuff. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Like, this is my worst nightmare. So I can see that she loves chocolate. Who doesn't? So she doesn't have chocolate in the morning. She'll only have it a little bit. And I'm trying to make sure that the raspberries are there and the berries and all of that stuff as well. But she's a kid with a mum who's got Delilah. Like, I've got to be really mindful, but I don't want to give her an issue. So that's why nothing's forbidden. But we've got to really concentrate on what we show them, because we're their kind of menu. They don't choose their food. We give it to them, don't we?
Yeah. I see. I'm fascinated whether this kind of thing where we're not born with an off switch, or we're naturally kind of inclined to be food addicts or sugar addicts, or that kind of, that is our crutch, whether that's something that is kind of genetic or born into you.
It's both.
Yeah.
So my niece, I've got one niece, she's 19 years old, she's a size 8, she has never had an issue with food. She stops when she's full. She is from a family where we are all overweight, all massive foodies, and we'll go out and Chloe will say, I'm done. Now, that is not nurture, because we've nurtured her into food. That's nature, where she just has never been a big foodie. So I think it is a little bit of both, but also where you put your control. A lot of people put control into food, don't they? So they can stop eating as a sense of control, whereas I eat when I've lost control. Does that make sense?
It just comes back to thinking of what our triggers are.
Yeah.
And the other thing is obviously excuses, right? The excuses that we tell ourselves of... You know, like I was saying, oh, well, you know, you've worked hard this week. Go on, just have that hash brown for breakfast, or three. And then the fried egg and instead of the poached egg, and before you know it.
Little changes.
Yeah, so I am fascinated. I think sometimes when you go to group, there are the most extreme excuses that you can hear. And the thing, I imagine the people who sit at weigh-in must hear all kinds of things.
Do you know what? I'm not at weigh-in very much, but I think it's that place, isn't it, where a lot of people feel like I can unburden myself, can't they? And I think this is a really important thing to recognise. You've not done anything wrong. And we all come up with excuses. I used to come up with the most extreme excuses not to get to group. Like, I would pray I'd break down so I wouldn't have to get on the scales. Do you know what I mean? It's random, isn't it? But I think you said something, a very succinct quote. What was it?
There's always an excuse, but there's always an inspiration too.
Yeah.
And that... Someone said that to me a few years ago, and I thought that was really interesting, because at the time I was kind of saying, I'm really tired... But the inspiration is, but I want to make sure that my body is strong and it rebuilds itself so I don't get ill and then I can feel better in a couple of days. So really, I've got a choice here. I can treat myself, but the long-term effects of that are not really going to help me, you know? So actually, I choose to eat a decent meal because it's going to make me feel better and I can get back to full strength quicker.
But that's shutting Delilah down, isn't it? That's going, hey, Delilah, my choice today is that I am going to make a good choice for me. And actually, you're just going to have to button it and sit down.
But it is exhausting, man. I think my own arguments in my head are exhausting. I exhaust myself.
Yeah.
And I'm not even like... Then I open my mouth to have normal conversations in life, and I'm like, I don't have the energy to talk because I've talked to myself for the last 2 hours.
But don't you find you've got the inner rebel in lots of things? So I've really struggled with anxiety and depression in my life, and I find that the inner rebel comes out like, oh, Anna, you can't be bothered to go out today. Oh, Anna, like, soft play is going to be a nightmare for you, blah, blah, blah. And it tells you to do other things that you wouldn't do, and it can send you in quite a downward spiral. So it's one to watch out for.
I definitely agree with that, because there'll be something in everybody's lives that when they crack that one thing, it will open doors to the other things. So, you know, a big thing for me over the last year was really talking to the people that I'm close with about the things that I struggle with. And you talked about, like, not showing my perfect self.
Ooh. Oh,
someone's having a good one there, aren't they?
What do you think they're having?
That's a shake, isn't it?
That is, yeah, that's going to be like a frappa chappa chappuccino, isn't it?
So the... Oh, still going.
And they're going to have loads of whipped cream on the top, aren't they? And a big straw.
Oh, the
mushrooms, marshmallows.
She asked me, did I want... So I've got a dairy-free hot chocolate. Did I want whipped cream, marshmallow and a flake with chocolate sprinkles?
We've still got to educate the world about this dairy-free thing, haven't we?
Well, my little girl is dairy-free. And the amount of people go, could you have cheese? No, she's dairy-free. It will make her body... Oh, but mini baby Belle be all right. No, it will make her puke, but... People don't get it, do they?
What was I saying?
Sorry.
So the one thing that you cracked, so I kind of came out, that's not the right phrase, but I came out to my family, to my family about, this is really what is going on in my head, and that was one of the hardest things to say, and, you know, moving away from the alcohol, really going and getting proper therapy and admitting, because I didn't used to call it depression, I couldn't say the word, I called it the D word, and really facing some of those big stuff. And accepting some of the things that I couldn't change. And then by doing that, that kind of unlocked me. So I was thinking the other week when I was stood on stage, and all these people were looking at me, like 100 people were looking at me in a room. I was on a stage which is in a comedy club. So it was really dark and salubrious. And there's me talking about podcasts, for God's sake.
I'm expecting you to do a bit of burlesque dancing.
I felt like I needed to be a performing monkey or something. But I kind of stood there, and then people came up to me afterwards and said, you really spoke from the heart, you're authentic, you know, you were very real. And I thought, well, I've only been able to do that because I've unlocked some of these other things within me. Yeah. And, you know, the openly admitting about the depression, tackling, just moving away from the alcohol, to know that I could do those things has almost enabled me to be able to face, well, I can do anything in my life. And I think a lot of people, it might be that food is their thing, that if they really knuckle down and deal with this thing, what else could that unlock in their life? And then the inner rebel for me when I get on stage is I hear her, but I kind of think, well, your fears are just stupid, really, compared to actually talking to my mom about, you know, some of the lowest points in my life. Yeah. That is nothing in comparison.
No, but I think it's allowing yourself that space to think about it, because some of us just want to shut her down or him down, so we dull that with food. I had a lovely girl say to me the other day, I just had a really rubbish week, so I pushed it down with food, because I could push my sadness down with the food.
Oh man, I've totally done that. Totally done that.
And it's so easy to do, isn't it? It's just gone, well, I can't deal with this, give me the ice cream. Can't deal with this, give me the pizza.
But the thing is, we know after we've done it, it doesn't help.
Oh, you feel a million times worse, don't you? Yeah. Always do. And then you feel like that instant regret.
Yeah.
And I think that's the really, really important thing to acknowledge in your life, that that inner rebel is never going to bring you joy. It's only ever going to bring you pain in the long run.
Yeah.
So if you can abstain and stay strong, you're going to feel so much better.
So in terms of practicality then, like, so the things that people could do. So for me, it was writing down the words of what is this inner rebel saying and seeing it on paper.
Yeah.
Second of all, understanding what your triggers are, I guess, is one that we were saying. And then third of all...
Watching your language.
Yeah.
How you're speaking to each other, yourself, the things that you're saying. When you catch yourself saying, I'm a failure, I'm messed up, I'm fat, I'm obese. Like... allowing yourself the space to find joy in what you've done, not in what you haven't.
And or saying, well, I recognise that you feel like that, yeah. Mr. or Mrs. Inner Rebel,
yeah.
But I'm doing something about it.
Yes, and just not trying to satisfy it, because you're never going to be able to satisfy it. You know, some days I have it where you have a bar of chocolate and you go, oh, that hasn't hit the spot, I need another one. That's why I ended up eating 16, 18 chocolate bars a day, because nothing was going to hit that spot. It was an emotional void that I had to fill myself that food couldn't. And I think that's what's important to look at, actually. Is this ever going to stop? Well, no, because you can't feed it with food. You really can't. Another big point, and something you always remind me of, is the bigger picture.
Yeah.
That little voice, that chimp, will come and strike and erase everything you're thinking about. So if you can think about the bigger picture and think about your weight loss over a month, over 3 months, not over the week, and when you've got on that scales and it hasn't gone the way you want, that will help shut Delilah down too.
Yeah.
And I just allow her to have her voice and have a shout and then tell her to get knotted. I'm far, I swear, far more than that. But I will chat. I will openly, when I was really poorly with, so I have an obsessive compulsive type of depression where you get the ruminating thoughts, and I got taught to break it. So saying the word cancel. So when I had the thoughts I couldn't deal with, just shout cancel. I'll often shout at Delilah, shut up. Do you know what I mean? This is like, mummy, who are you talking to?
What have you got? You've got an article.
So this is an article on the Slimming World website for members, and it is all about making friends with your inner rebel. And it's written partly by Margaret Miles Bramwell, our founder, and it's more in depth about the psychology behind it, and some amazing psychologists have written about it, and kind of loads more tips and hints. So I definitely direct you to have a little look at
some of the phrases we're talking about here. Seeing the bigger picture.
What was
this one here? Watching your language. I mean, it's tying in with exactly the things that we've been thinking and talking about here, isn't it?
Yeah, it says your inner rebel is impulsive and isn't concerned about caring for your future self. You might get the instant hit of pleasure, but how will you feel 20 minutes later?
You know, that is a whole recipe. That's a whole recipe for my life.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to like money and jobs and things, I very much lived in the moment of, okay, I've got it, I need to have it, I need to spend it now or whatever. And now I'm starting to kind of, as I get a bit older, thinking, well, how does that impact me long term?
Yeah,
exactly. By what I do for the next 5 minutes, that instant quick thing, how's that gonna affect me long term? Is that really getting me towards my long term goals?
But we don't think about that in terms of food, most of us.
Anything.
Yeah. But actually we don't realise how important that is with food, because it's that, well, I want it now, and with food it's so instant, isn't it? But I always think a new week is a new chance to see a difference. So actually, if you abstain, sorry, I'm banging my hand on the table, you'll see a much better result next week. So you will get the thing about weight loss is you can get an instant response from it, almost instant as in 7 days. So yeah, don't give in to her, guys. Don't give in. I really sound like I need to seek medical help, don't I?
You don't. I love your positivity. It just feels like, I know that actually, personally, you have been through some really tough times, but like your eternal optimism is like unbelievable. I was watching you in group yesterday, and you just, your passion for helping people just like comes across so much. Yeah, it's infectious. But I know that behind the scenes, that's not always the way.
But the positivity helps me. So when I broke my back and life was at its end, like, I just had to find something positive. And I remember when my dad was dying, he said, you won't always be as sad as you are now. You will get happy again. And I thought, if he can say that as he's dying, like, I've got to transcend that. And also, there is always something to be sad about, but there's always something to be happy about, and I try and find the happy.
Isn't that exactly the same? There's always an excuse, but there's always an inspiration.
Oh, on that note, Claire, what more can we say? I'm off to get a cake. No, I'm not.
Don't eat in front of me.
No, I'm not. I'm not having a cake. I've had my hot chocolate. I've got
four sins.
Four sins.
Can I just sniff it? Can I just have a little sniff?
You could lick the rim if you wanted to.
Oh, so good. Smells brilliant. It smells like coconut, actually.
Yeah, coconut milk hot chocolate. Try it from Costa. So good. Because it gives you a different kind of sweetness. Yeah. Just don't get the stuff on the top.
Well, look, this podcast is made by and for people who are doing Slimming World plans. So we do want to hear some of your comments. If some of the things that we're saying are really resonating with you, if you're nodding your head, if you're talking out loud to us or to Delilah as you're listening, then please get in contact with us, because we are looking at doing another listeners question episode coming up in the next few weeks. So use email slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com, and also @slimmingworldpodcast on Instagram. And if you do want to keep your comments anonymous, confidential, then just tell us, you know. Otherwise, we hear that some of you love having your name read out on the podcast.
Oh, some of you buzz off it. It's so nice when we get all these messages. It's so lovely that you guys are listening, because that was our hope, was that we'd touch a few people, but it's going mental and we really love that. But we want to hear what you're saying, and I know that some of you have got some burning subjects that we are going to cover in the next few weeks. And somebody asked me the other day, can you make more than one episode a week? We'd love to, but can you imagine with mine and Claire's schedule, like, it's mental, isn't it, just to get one in. So one day,
life goals.
Yeah, life goals.
Life goals.
But in the meantime, have a great week. We hope that this has kicked off your Monday in just the way that you needed. And make sure that you subscribe, because you get these updates every single Monday morning. We've made the commitment and the promise that every Monday there'll be a new episode for you. So if you in return can subscribe, rate and review us on particularly the Apple Podcast app, would be eternally grateful.
And share as well. We'd love to get as many people hearing about us as we possibly can, so that we can mention you, because we're at Hong Kong, New Zealand, we're in West and East Sussex, aren't we?
Hey.
We're everywhere.
That's it. We get around, Anna.
We do, don't we?